If you like playing in the field of possibilities and getting your information from those who really know, Conversation at the Cutting Edge is your kind of program. Host Sandy Sedgbeer speaks with teachers, speakers, scientists, and authors that are shifting perceptions about who we are and what we're capable of. Get ready to expand your awareness and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. Here's Sandy.
Hello and welcome to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm your host, Sandy Sedgbeer, and the purpose of this show is to share thought-provoking information that I hope will shift your perceptions about who you are, why you're here, and what you can do when you open your mind, expand your awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those that we place upon ourselves. According to many spiritual teachers and researchers, there is a great awakening taking place. As the current plethora of books and movies on spirituality will attest, humanity's consciousness is expanding, and more people are seeking answers to the question, who am I really? And what am I doing here? Do I have a purpose for being? And if I do, why am I having so many challenges discovering what that might be and creating the life I want to live? According to my guest today, our consciousness has an enormous impact on reality, and the time we're living in is rife with opportunities to step out of the illusion of separation and take back our creative power to create the lives we want to live. And surprisingly, the best teachers we have right now aren't necessarily the spiritual teachers we've all been looking to, but rather are the young adults and the children of today who, if we're willing to listen, can show us how to completely redefine what it means to be human. Dr. Meg Blackburn-Losey is the author of 9 books on consciousness, including Pyramids of Light, Awakening to Multidimensional Realities, The Secret History of Consciousness, Ancient Keys to Our Future Survival, and the international best-selling Children of Now, and its new follow-up, The Children of Now Evolution. Dr. Meg has a PhD of holistic life coaching and holds a doctoral degree in metaphysics. She's an international speaker and teacher, and has served as a consultant to Good Morning America in 2020, and most recently, A&E Lifetime Movie Network. Dr. Meg Blackburn-Losey, welcome.
Thank you, Andy. I'm thrilled to be here today.
Meg, you've been studying consciousness for many years. Your book, The Secret History of Consciousness, provides one of the simplest and most cogent explanations of consciousness and how we came to be that I've ever come across. Could you start by just giving us a brief explanation of what consciousness is and how we came into being?
Sure. I think that's a great question and one of my favorites. You know, we had a beginning. We know this. And the questions are how that happened, what happened. And basically, things happened in the beginning that dispersed a great deal of light. That light, as it slowed down, began to organize into geometrical forms. Those geometrical forms are also known as sacred geometry. And as the energies came together, they formed four-sided pyramids and then later octahedrons, which became the basic particle of all of creation. The octahedrons are actually little balls of consciousness individualized, and they align based on positive and negative polarity. In other words, like if you have two magnets that are opposite polarities, they won't come together, they'll stay apart. Well, that's how all of creation is put together. In between those particles are empty spaces. Those empty spaces are where our prayers travel, where energy travels, where any kind of emission or expression of energy made, including by us, travels and then communicates to those particles, and then those particles literally will rearrange and reflect a new reality based on the message they're given. So, for instance, if we're praying fervently that somebody will be healed and feel better, and we do it emotionally with all our heart, that often happens, and we call it a miracle. If we are expressing energy in any way, a word, a thought, emotion, a feeling, anything, that goes out into creation. Creation listens, and brings us back exactly what we've expressed. So sometimes things don't go the way we really wanted them to because we sent out mixed messages. We sent out our doubts, our fears, or we repeated the message so many times from a different state of being, because in every moment we're evolving. As those messages travel through creation, we get information, we change, and it's all completely harmonized like a symphony and a beautiful choreographed dance. So everything that comes together because we have expressed it in some way or another, either individually or collectively.
Well, you know, you say that reality isn't happening to us. We are happening to reality, and we really do create our experiences. Does that mean, then, that we are co-creating with creation? I mean, who's leading this?
We have the ability and the free will to express our emotions, our thoughts, our feelings, everything. And by what we express, we give messages to creation, whatever you want to call it, God, spirit, creation, it's all the same. Those messages travel and it rearranges in response to us and brings us exactly what we want. So individually, we are that powerful. Collectively, we're exponentially powerful.
So if I have this right, then, creation, source, some people would term it God, created us as individuated sparks of itself to experience, and yet we have the ability, we have the ability to actually create what we want, you know, demand what we want. Is that the case?
Yes, absolutely. Each of us is unique in all of creation. Each of us is a set of those particles that came together as a reality that reflects as us. That is only part of the whole picture. All of us are a part of that same reality. So we are aspects of that. None of us can be God, so to speak. But each of us is a reflection of part of that same reality acting on its behalf. And so as all of us do that, creation learns from us. It evolves with us, and it brings back to us even different things from that evolution. That's what's happening right now in what you were talking about, the Great Awakening, in your intro. That was beautiful. And it's not that we're waking up to something. It's not that something's happening to us. It's not that we all of a sudden have gifts or abilities that are different or weird. All we're doing is remembering who we are. And the reason is consciousness and the thinking mind are very different. Consciousness is electromagnetic in nature. It's not bound by any time or space or limitations or boundaries of any kind. Our mentality is electrical in nature, and our brain is very busy, and as it fires and we have it constantly in motion, it creates a field of energy that keeps us from that finer consciousness. And now, because of a myriad of reasons that we don't have time to go into, but now what's happening is our minds are starting to operate differently, and therefore we're more aware of what we've always had and didn't know how to access, and that's our consciousness. And it knows everything. It travels out of our body, it travels in our sleep, and it brings information to us that tells us where to go and what to do. And that's why now is so important.
How do you know this, Meg?
Life experience, and I'm weird. I can see and do a lot of the things, all of the things that I write about. And it happened because I had what we call a dark night of the soul, and I really hit the dirt. If something I created in my life was a reality, it fell apart within 2 weeks, and I woke up very humble one morning, very much in tears and grief and not understanding how I got there. And basically, I realized that I didn't like me very much, and I was living life based on who I thought everyone wanted me to be, and I didn't know who I was. So I set out seeking my own truth, and to do that, the first step that I could think of was to tell myself the truth. And boy, when you start doing that, you realize just how often you BS yourself every day, you know? And as I became less and less defended, my body relaxed, my whole being relaxed, because there was nothing to hide anymore. I got it. And that's when my intuitive abilities just, I went through what I call my series of cosmic 2x4s, and I can actually see beyond this world and interact with beings from other planes of reality. And I learned the touching the light healing work. And it's a long story, but the reason that I was able to do that is because I didn't have a need to know. I was so humble. And I was so curious, what can I do different? Who am I in all of this? That I never got in the way of the experience. I just let it happen. And I didn't have anyone to talk to. And I know that contributed to it as well, because we all have perceptions, and they're not all based on the same set of information or even frame of reference. So, you know, to me, it's a part of our natural being. It's not about, oh, how cool is that? Somebody can do this or that, or it's so weird. And it's really just a natural part of our being, and we had forgotten about it because we had evolved away from it.
You have written that you had experiences with guides, masters, who showed you all kinds of information by an infusion process, as you describe it. And in your book, The Secret History of Consciousness, Ancient Keys to Our Future Survival, you talk about all of the clues that have been left by the ancients in all of the sacred sites. You lead people to sacred sites, and you've actually said that some of those sacred sites at this time are changing. The energetics around them are changing as we are changing. Just say a few words about that.
Yeah, you know, when you start to get firmly in your own path and not anyone else's, it's really cool how one thing will lead you to the next and to the next and to the next. And one of the things that happened for me was that I started being invited or led, however you want to put it, to different places around the world. And it ended up being sacred sites, Teotihuacan, Stonehenge, Peru. There's a million sites there. Other sites in Egypt. And I mean, just I could go on and on, but we won't. And what I started to see were commonalities, and not the ones that the scientists are writing about with all of the angulations and the Fibonacci sequence, and all of that's relative. Okay, but what I started to see was that, first of all, each site, and I'm very sensitive to this, had a different type of energy depending on when it was built and what its directions were. They've all got archaeoastronomy in them. Certain times of the year, certain stars line up and cool things happen on the sites. And what I started to realize was that the ancients left us the keys to everything we need to know about how creation was put together, consciousness relates, and how all of it works together. And they did so by leaving, for the most part, four-sided pyramids all over the planet in predictable increments of latitude and longitude, all using the energy of the Earth based on its ley lines. And I could go very deeply into this subject, but the point is, the ancients, in times before we have measurable history, because most areas like this, no one really knows for sure how old they are, because they can only measure the stones or the immediate earth, or they can take cores. But some of them, many of them, have oral traditions that somebody not from around here came and built them and then left again. That's true in Teotihuacan, and it's true in many other places. So what I realized as I wrote The Secret History of Consciousness, I kept standing up, turning in circles. I was so excited because finally all my pieces were coming together. And what I realized was, here is an entire roadmap to our very being, how it's constructed and how we can work within it. So it's fascinating when you really start looking at it and you include the sacred geometries that are part of. Do you know that every religion's major symbol is drawn and overlays beautifully on one sacred geometric symbol, and that's the flower of life? Other people have written about it. But even the I know you're real interested in, Horoscope. The word, eh? What is it? I'm excited. I get my head goes faster than my mind.
We have to go over to a break right now, but we'll finish this when we get back. You're listening to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. My guest today is Dr. Meg Blackburn-Losey. We're talking about consciousness. And after the break, we will be exploring the rapid evolutionary leap that's taking place right now, which is being evidenced in the kids being born over the past few decades. So stay tuned.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What is the first step for you personally to finally make the shift you have been seeking? Find out right now by connecting with us on Facebook and on Twitter. My Vivid Life. Well, it's a state of being, complete well-being. Get there today with daily inspiration right to your inbox.
Ignite the new year with the new you at Sedona World Wisdom Days. Expand your wisdom with some of the world's greatest thinkers and spiritual visionaries of our time. The festival begins with legendary television producer Norman Lear, visionary icon Barbara Marx Hubbard, India Arie and her Songversation performance, and many more amazing presenters. There's a special seat waiting just for you. Reserve it now by visiting SedonaWorldWisdom.com.
It's all about relationships on Vivid Life Radio. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and I'll be with you every Thursday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on www.vividlife.me. Join me and a growing gathering of friends worldwide.
Life Radio connects you with the most current, optimistic, and inspiring information on the planet. Get ready to open your mind, heal your heart, and start living your ultimate life. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for more details on our upcoming broadcast with the world's brightest minds sharing wisdom to uplift your spirit.
Welcome back to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with Dr. Meg Blackburn-Losey, author of 9 books, including The Secret History of Consciousness, Ancient Keys to Our Future Survival, and The Children of Now, Evolution. Meg, you've written several books about the children of now that became instant bestsellers around the world. And by the children of now, we're talking about the generations born from the mid-1970s through to those that are being birthed today. We'd be fooled not to recognize that these kids are quite different than previous generations. You say they have an expanded consciousness. They're more intelligent, more sentient, and far more sensitive than previous generations. And they can teach us a lot about consciousness. Tell us more.
Well, that's true. And wow, you put that so well. You know, people like us, you, me, people in our generation, I call us the bridge generation. We're the ones that started exploring all the things we talked about a few minutes ago. We just knew that we knew things. We know that we want to go home, but we don't remember where that is. There's so many things, you know, we had a sixth sense, ESP on occasion, or whatever. And a lot of us finally said, I got to see what this is. It's just too much a part of me. And as we did, more and more of us did that, and we passed what we might call a point of critical mass some years ago. And because of that, we set it up for a whole new generation of children to come in with a lot of these abilities intact. And they will remember, that many of them, their past lives, they remember picking their parents. They are very intuitive. Many of them can touch people and help them feel better because they have a command of energy that's innate. They've just got so many different perceptions and abilities. It's crazy. It's just crazy. And, you know, when I wrote the first book, The Children of Now, about these children, I thought we were dealing with a very cool niche of kids who had super abilities and were just mind-blowingly loving and concerned about other people and the planet and everything else. And as I started speaking about this around the world, what I realized was that this is a huge picture with a whole lot of facets that include things like autism and Asperger's and ADD and ADHD and vaccines and GMOs and many other things, all relative, and how we're treating them in society is actually damaging them. And so I felt compelled to write this follow-up book. I say it's not a new book. It's a wake-up call, because the things that I learned in the process of my research and speaking to parents that have a lot of these kids and to their caretakers and even to physicians and educators, what I learned is this is both exciting and terrifying, what's possible and what's happening.
Meg, I know in the Children of Now evolution, you've revisited that subject, you've talked to many of the kids, you've looked at a lot of the research that's going on. We know that autism is, you know, the diagnosis rate is just changing daily, more and more kids. All of this is in your book, Children of Now Evolution, all of the dangers, how we need to support these kids. I would like to ask you a couple of questions, because we really don't have time to go into all of it. I certainly encourage our listeners to go and buy that book. But tell us on a personal level, and then I want to ask on a global level. When it comes to creating our reality, what can we do? How can we recognize when we're sabotaging ourselves? How can we know when something is true or not true?
You know, that's an awesome question, and it's one of the easiest things to learn. And that is that when things aren't going well for us, something's out of truth. That's a given in my book, okay? And the way that we can tell immediately if there's an untruth or we're sabotaging ourselves is how our body is reacting. It's a scientific fact that our body will respond before our brain can. Our brain takes a couple of split seconds to catch up. So as soon as we feel our body tense, or if we find ourselves all of a sudden holding our breath in the face of something, then that's our cue that we're defending something or something's not true. Because what happens is through our life experiences, our mind and our ego are in collusion, and in with that, our subconscious actually runs the show from the background, from our past experiences, and so our reactions become habitual. So if we can learn to read those body cues, oh, my chest is tightening up, oh, my solar plexus just went totally rigid, oh, I'm not breathing, those are clues. Those are clues that something's out of truth or we're defending something. So stop, step back, take a nice deep breath and say, okay, am I defending something or is there an untruth here? And answer honestly. And as soon as you realize what it is you're reacting to, which is probably not what you're in the middle of, you can change how you react to that situation, which will take you to a far more successful outcome.
Meg, we have a couple of more minutes left, and I have two questions that I really would like to have answered very, very succinctly, I'm afraid. One
okay.
is, what do we need to do to get what we really want? And the second one is, how can we support these children so that they can do their job and help us really understand more about who we are and what we're capable of?
Okay, fast version. How to get what we want. We're process-driven. We get sidetracked in our process, and therefore we don't get there. So it's kind of like throwing a ball. Imagine how you're going to feel when you're in the middle of that new reality and let it go with all your heart. And I mean power it with the emotion of being there. And then have faith. Know that you have created the reality, and there will be a moment in time where you and it will intersect. Trust me on this. It's all about faith. It's not about repetition. As far as getting the children what we need awareness. There is something happening that's bigger than all of us. And unfortunately, we as a society are missing some of these clues that are right in our face involving pharmaceuticals, involving how we're educating our kids, and involving what we expect of them socially. They work differently. Their minds are compartmentalized. Their energy is very sweet, and they feel everything. They're sentient. So we've got to retrain ourselves to help them with what we need.
Meg, last question. Why now? Why is this expansion of consciousness taking place right now at this moment in time, very quickly?
Because there's a number of reasons. Energy is working in our world differently. At the same time, we have technologies that have raised our intelligence, and with high intelligence also comes more openness of consciousness if it's worked in a balance. And because of that, and because we're in a 26,000-year cycle that I wish I had time to talk about, it has its high points and its low points, being like the Crusades, the Inquisitions, that kind of thing, and the high points being like right now when everybody is waking up, as you say, and we're starting to remember who we are, and we can take that in either direction. We can create thousands of years of peace and of balance in our world, or we can take it down a very much darker path if we don't get a handle on our technology and our psychology and get back to interpersonal relations where everything matters.
Meg, we will have you back on this show so that
Thank you, Sandy, expand
on that, because there's so much more to say. But in the meantime, how can listeners connect with you and learn more about your books and your work?
My main website is spiritlite.com. That's spiritlite.com. And I also have a secondary website. I teach classes in the Touching the Light healing modality that I mentioned briefly. And that's touchingthelight.org. And my email is drmeg@spiritlite.com.
Meg Blackburn-Losey, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sandy. Thanks to all you who are listening as well.
Bye-bye. That brings us to the end of this show. Thanks for being with me today. And for details of future shows or archives, log on to vividlife.me. If you wish to connect with me and learn more about the publishing, resonance, marketing, and conscious business development consultancy services that I offer, you can visit my website at sedgbeer.com, S-E-D-G-B-E-E-R, where you can also sign up for my News from the Edge newsletter. And you can also connect with me on Facebook at Sandy Sedgbeer, S-A-N-D-I-E, Sedgbeer. The theme tune for this show is from an original song called Searching by Grammy Award-winning producer, composer, and musician Barry Goldstein. Thanks for being with me. Bye-bye.
Vivid Life Radio connects you with the most current, optimistic, and inspiring information on the planet. Get ready to open your mind, heal your heart, and start living your ultimate life. Go to vividlife.me, that's vividlife.me, for more details on our upcoming broadcast with the world's brightest minds sharing wisdom to uplift your spirit.
Thank you for listening to Conversation at the Cutting Edge, where scientists, researchers, authors, and teachers working at the leading edge meet. For conversations that aim to shift your perceptions about who you are, why you're here, and what you can achieve when you open your mind, expand your awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. Join us next week, same time, with your host, Sandy Sedgbeer, for another conversation at the Cutting Edge.